The way that media covers big events affects the way that people view and understand these events. National media analyst Norman Solomon was a guest on a global town hall meeting held on KVMR-FM last Thursday. We discussed issues regarding media coverage of the International Monetary Fund and World Bank protests, which took place in Washington, D.C. First, Norman Solomon addresses the issue of the IMF and World Bank refusing to credential reporters from community radio stations.
The IMF and World Bank, as you say, essentially barred reporters, journalists from community radio stations, student media, and what they perceived to be public interest groups. And so a lot of folks were kept out on that basis. And, you know, that, I think, reflects how nervous they were, but also there's another, I won't call it a principle, but an axiom at work, which was clear in Seattle and here, and that is that the economic, political dominant system will do whatever it takes or whatever they think it takes to do what they want to do. So, you know, Seattle was turned into essentially a militarized zone downtown when they were having trouble having their meeting. And then D.C., what was it, 70 or 90 square blocks essentially sealed off. As you mentioned, journalists, they felt were especially problematic from their standpoint, were not allowed credentials to go into any of those meetings. And then a lot of violence inflicted on demonstrators, which, by the way, has continued inside the jails, getting very little media attention, by the way.
There's a huge issue when groups like the IMF and the World Bank can begin to pick and choose, if you will, what media they're going to allow to cover them. I mean, when we're talking about community radio, you know, we are talking about legal FCC licensed stations, and yet you have organizations like the IMF and World Bank who are saying, in essence, we're only going to allow the journalists in that we feel good about. I mean, that's a tremendously dangerous thing.
Right. Well, the journalists they don't feel good about from a station like KVMR or whatever, those are folks who IMF and World Bank officials feel might gum up the works, you know, might ask the wrong kind of questions, might be too persistent. And, you know, it is about control. I mean, I think what we're seeing is kind of the ugly face of corporate liberalism, which is that when push comes to shove, you know, they will do whatever, by whatever means necessary, they feel required to accomplish what they're going to do. But, you know, when we stop and think about what the WTO is or what the IMF and World Bank are, these are institutions of massive violence, savagely attacking poor people, especially in the third world. And through structural adjustment programs, through the redistribution further of resources from the poor to the wealthy through this debt that's being squeezed and squeezed in Africa and Asia and Latin America and elsewhere. I mean, that is just systemic violence of an extreme sort. I mean, in the next 24 hours, there'll be at least 20,000 children who die from preventable diseases, and with 10% of the Pentagon budget devoted to preventing those diseases, they would stay alive. So if that isn't massive violence, you know, what is?
Norman Solomon provided analysis of the national media coverage of the event.
I think it ran quite a gamut. I mean, it's a very large contrast to coverage of the IMF and World Bank a few years ago, which was basically just a never-ending rotation of cliches about economic reform and bringing down trade barriers and so forth. And so in contrast to what we've been getting throughout the 1990s, the coverage was better. And yet there have been a lot of attacks and caricatures of demonstrators as, you know, Luddites and wackos and et cetera, et cetera, and not that much chance for people to get more than a few words in edgewise in the mass media. But there have been some good reports, and by good I mean giving a chance for people who have a critical analysis of the IMF and World Bank to present their information and their analysis and their perspective. So I think it's been a very mixed bag, and within the constraints of corporate media, I think that some of the messages have gotten out, and that's really a testimony to people who have been working not only for the last few months, but many years to build grassroots information structures and organizing as well. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed picture. I must say that the elite media have been the most upset of all. If you read the editorials in the New York Times and Washington Post, they're very frustrated by these demonstrations and by the attention that they got and some of the issues that were raised. And I'm talking here about liberal media institutions. Of course, the Wall Street Journal has been wacky and furious about this. They've been very upset. They've used all kinds of names. They've said that the demonstrators would show up with their bibs and bottles, just an attempt to portray the protesters as kind of infantile fools. But it's really the kind of the liberal pro-corporate media establishment, such as the New York Times and Washington Post. When you look at what's on their op-ed pages and their official editorials, you can see they're quite upset, and they're kind of groping for ways to be apologists for the IMF and World Bank while calling for certain reforms.
Many radio listeners count on the Pacifica Network to bring them a progressive analysis and reporting of the events on major national and international issues. We asked Norman Solomon about his analysis of Pacifica's coverage of the IMF World Bank protests.
You know, I didn't hear much of their coverage, but generally there's been, in the last few months, on the National Pacifica News, which is the half-hour evening Pacifica Network news, there's been a kind of a toning down. I know they've contracted with a media agency that reports as well for Fox News. And there's been this kind of general trend to rely more on official sources, to imitate the corporate mainstream media. And there was a kind of an interesting event that happened where the Independent Media Center set up in Washington, D.C., which was essentially providing credentials to journalists to come into the media center, that Independent Media Center declined to issue credentials to the Pacifica Network News reporter on the grounds that there's currently a dispute over censorship at Pacifica Network News. In fact, there is the 90-day boycott still underway, essentially a strike by the Pacifica stringers, by many of them. And so I think that's kind of a symbol of what we have here. We have an independent media center and many independent journalists, as well as activists more generally, raising crucial questions through their actions, through their words, and through their work about the IMF and World Bank and kind of a censorious corporate system. And symbolically, the Independent Media Center in Washington just said to Pacifica Network News, you have really struck a blow against what we believe in, and we want to make that clear.
We spoke with Craig Heimsen, one of the organizers for the Independent Media Center in Washington, D.C., about this issue.
That was an interesting and kind of painful decision for a lot of us. And right off the bat, I'd like to make a distinction between Pacifica Network News on the one hand and all the affiliates, the member stations, and Amy Goodman and her wonderful show, Democracy Now!, who were actually Amy and several folks from WBAI in New York have been and are very supportive of the IMC and were welcome into our space, and we actually worked together a little bit. But Pacifica Network News, we made the decision, well, I should say that in Washington, D.C., the week before the actual event, a very nice Pacifica Network News reporter approached those of the folks that were in D.C. earlier setting things up and said she, A, wanted to do a story on the IMC, and B, apparently they were having a hard time getting stringers to be out there in the field, and they wanted to know if we could share tape and collaborate. Well, as your listeners may or may not be aware, there's a strike, or really a boycott, against Pacifica Network News, and it's a long story, so we'll just touch on it briefly, by a group of, I think, 50 or 60 folks who acted as stringers, or people who kind of freelancers who occasionally do work for Pacifica, which is where they get a lot of their content from, or for folks who aren't officially on the payroll every week, but, you know, get a few bucks here and there when they report. Well, the stringers have have decided, or this group of stringers have decided, that they will not work for Pacifica Network News anymore until certain demands have been met, and that really a lot of that stems from the fact that several months back, Dan Coughlin, who is the producer of Pacifica Network News, was fired, really, for airing a 20-second segment about some protests, I believe, or that were going on at KPFA, one of the Pacifica stations in Berkeley, regarding, it was either that or it was a meeting, and other people, other Pacifica advisory board folks and activists speaking out against some decisions that were made in a Pacifica meeting. And, of course, Pacifica Network News had imposed a gag order on all on-air personalities, telling them that they could not speak about the crisis at Pacifica, which is very deep, and I encourage people to look into it because it's a real tragedy for community radio. But they told people that if you're not allowed to speak about it. Folks have been fired. Some folks have been rehired. Anyway, Dan Coughlin aired a 20-second piece and was essentially fired as a result of it. So we really felt like the group was pretty unanimous, the IMC, in that for us to collaborate with Pacifica Network News in any capacity would effectively be like we were crossing a picket line. We'd be scabbing. The fact that they're having trouble getting people to collect content for them shows that that this resistance to the very poor and tragic decisions that PNN has been making is very strong. And so, and we actually went even further than that. We refused to allow them to do a story on the IMC, which was the source of a little bit of debate, because some folks said, well, but you know, if we can get our word out, get our website out, et cetera, you know, isn't that a greater good? But we decided, several of us anyway, I don't think the group ever came to a formal consensus, which is how we operate, in terms of what we should tell this reporter should she approach us. But several of us said, we formed the IMC because Pacifica is going down the tubes, and we told ourselves that's all we would say if she approached us, and to my knowledge, she didn't approach anyone.
For KVMR's News and Views, I'm Mike Thornton.